Thank you for coming to the session entitled Cancer Epidemiology and Disparity. My name is Dr. Patrick Kai, and I will be the moderator for this session. We have four speakers presenting on various topics related to cancer, and we'll go ahead and get started. I'm going to introduce each of the speakers, provide a little bit of background, give their bio, and then they'll present, and then we'll open up for Q&A within the time allotted, which is approximately 20 minutes, and then we'll continue moving on throughout the presentation for the session. So our first speaker today is Dr. John Morgan. Dr. Morgan is a professor of epidemiology at Loma Linda University, an epidemiologist with the SEER Cancer Registry of Greater California, CRGC, and the primary investigator of the Loma Linda University SEER Contract for Cancer Control and Prevention in Regions 4 and 5 of the CRGC, covering seven California counties. Dr. Morgan has co-authored 90 peer-reviewed manuscripts, special reports, and position papers. Dr. Morgan.
Good morning. I'm really honored to be here in warm New Orleans. I don't think I've ever been to New Orleans where it wasn't hot and muggy. And so it's a pleasant change, actually. I'm going to talk today about sociodemographic predictors of delayed versus early stage cervical cancer. This is a presentation that should be done by one of my graduate students. It's the first paper for her DRPH in epidemiology, but she wasn't able to be here today, so I get to do the presentation. So a little bit of background. There are approximately 12,000 new cervical cancers in the U.S. That are projected for this year, and about 4,000 deaths will occur from cervical cancer this year in the United States. The majority of new cervical cancer deaths are partly a consequence of HPV infections that are preventable by vaccination. The number of women not vaccinated for HPV, presence of oncogenic HPV subtypes not in current vaccines, and presence of non-HPV etiologies ensures that the Pap test is here for the foreseeable future and will remain part of a complete cancer control and prevention strategy for cervix cancer. Regular Pap testing reduces risk of cervical cancer by detecting and treating premalignant cervical dysplasia. So this is actually true screening for cervical dysplasia, secondary prevention of cervical dysplasia presents primary prevention for cervical cancer. Results in earlier detection of cervical cancer. This is Pap testing. Earlier detection of cervical cancer, where late stage disease, other than stage one, is the source of deaths from cervix cancer. If we look at U.S. data for 1999 through 2011, the high risk of death groups for cervix cancer are black women and Hispanic women. And so we tend to have intensified screening targeted strategies for these groups that white women and Asian Pacific Islander women are at remarkably lower risk of death from cervix cancer. And so this has led to some strategies that we're going to suggest are not the best strategies for control and prevention of cervix cancer. In efforts to reduce mortality, current screening recommendations frequently involve intensified targeting of non-Hispanic black and Hispanic women in the screening programs. We sought to distinguish independent roles of selected sociodemographic factors, and specifically age, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, and marital status as predictors of delayed versus early stage cervical cancer. We extracted demographic information for all staged invasive epidermoid carcinomas and adenocarcinomas reported to the California Cancer Registry for 1996 through 2005. The California Cancer Registry is formed from the collection of the three largest SEER cancer registries, surveillance, epidemiology, and end results cancer registries. So this is a huge population, a population of approximately 38 million today. Cases were classified as delayed stage, that's AJCC, American Joint Committee on Cancer Staging, stages 2 through 4. And this is the stages that the overwhelming majority of cervix cancer deaths come from. And then early stage is stage 1. Cervix cancer is treated in stage 1 successfully, with treatment being curative. There were 13,624 staged cervical cancers reported to the CCR during the 10-year study. This is about 99% of all of the cervix cancer cases in the state. 47% were delayed stage at diagnosis. 58% were among women less than age 50 years of age. But interestingly, more than half of the delayed stage cases were among women 50 and older. If we look at the univariate findings, what we see is a relationship with age. This is not adjusting for any other covariates, a dose gradient that's highly significant, and adequate power, indication that we will have adequate power in the stratification categories. We see variations in odds of delayed to early stage by race, ethnicity, and a significant relationship. We see an uninterrupted dose response gradient with from highest to lowest socioeconomic status, and the global chi-squared here is significant. And we see marital status is significant, and this is separated, divorced, widowed, and single contrast with married. But these are univariate findings. When we look at the logistic regression multivariable findings contrasting delayed with early stage cervix cancer, we see that the age effect persists after adjusting for race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, and marital status. And it's as you would expect, the lowest odds of delayed to early stage in younger women compared to women 50 to 65 years of age, and higher risk, higher odds of delayed to early stage in the oldest women, with a significant trend, significant dose gradient for those findings. The race-ethnic effect that we saw in the univariate findings are obliterated when socioeconomic status is added to the model. So these are reduced to the null value. Socioeconomic status is hardly touched when you adjust for other covariates, and we see an uninterrupted dose gradient from highest to lowest socioeconomic status with a highly significant trend. Marital status has changed markedly, where the marital status effect for separated, divorced, and widowed compared to married, and single compared to married, are quite similar to one another, and each persists as significant in predicting odds of delayed to early stage cervix cancer. This is a complex table, but I'm going to put in some things that simplify it. But this is looking simply at the delayed stage cases, which is nearly half of the cases. What we see is 44% of them are non-Hispanic, Black, and Hispanic. Screening programs for cervix cancer do intensified targeting of these two race ethnic groups, non-Hispanic, Black, and Hispanic. This represents 44% of the delayed stage cases. And what that means is that 56% of the delayed stage cases are in Asian other and non-Hispanic whites that are seldom part of demographically targeted intensified screening programs. If we look instead, ignoring race, ethnicity, looking at the two lowest socioeconomic status categories, what we see is 54% of the delayed stage cases are in the two lowest SES categories, 10% more than would have been targeted by targeting the two race ethnic groups that are frequently categorized as underserved regarding early detection of cervix cancer. If we move to marital status, again, this is just for the delayed stage cases. When we look at race ethnicity, the findings are identical. 44% of the delayed stage cases are in non-Hispanic black and Hispanic women. Remember, the single, separated, divorced, and widowed findings became quite similar in the multivariable model, so we've combined them here. We could call this unmarried. And what we see is 58% of the delayed stage cases could have been targeted by this marital status category. We're not experts in how to target regarding marital status, but I think it's a value to note that this is markedly better as a identifier of the actual delayed stage cases than targeting by the two race ethnic groups that are frequently used for targeting. So, conclusion and discussion. Our findings reveal that 58% of California cervix cancer cases were diagnosed among women less than 50 years of age, while 54% of the delayed stage cases were in women 50 and older. And we think that that's perhaps the most important finding. Age, socioeconomic status, and marital status each independently predicted odds of delayed versus early stage cervix cancer diagnosed in California. Race ethnicity did not in the multivariable model. Targeting the two lowest SES quintiles for intensified cervical cancer screening rather than using race ethnicity would have directed resources, and these are the additional research sources, the intensified resources, to 10% more of the delayed stage cases than targeting non-Hispanic black and Hispanic California women. Delayed stage cervical cancers are disproportionately diagnosed, 58% among unmarried California women. We think that that needs to be considered in development of targeted screening strategies for intensified screening. Further research is needed to determine how to improve targeting of delayed stage cervical cancer using age, socioeconomic status, and marital status. So the translational piece of this research is not done yet. And I'd like to acknowledge the first author of this of the paper that is she's responding now to reviewers' comments for Annals of Epidemiology is Sapita Sekhari. And this will be the first paper in her doctoral dissertation at Loma Linda University. I'd like to acknowledge our senior statistician, Mark Gamsery, a gynecologist and researcher that's part of this, Aaron Marie Mitchell, and another statistician, K.G. Oda, at Loma Linda University. Thank you very much. We're going to have questions now.
Are there any questions?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. I think there's enough. The other really big story here is about age. Uh-huh. And your highest odds ratio is for over age 66, I think. And yet,
yeah,
the recommendations are that screening trails off after age 50.
Yeah. I agree with you. We're responding to reviewers' comments now, and our reviewers didn't like it very much when we went there, when we challenged the current screening recommendations that say to stop after age 65. And we're going to sneak it in to the extent that we're able to, but we have to attenuate it somewhat in the way that we said it in the original manuscript.
Well, I think if you look at death rates, they're highest at age
70. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We cited about five other papers that have found what we found, and it challenges whether those screening, whether the decision to recommend against screening, because it is that strong, recommend against continued screening starting at age 66, are not evidence based. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
no, we didn't. It would be. We're using cancer registry data, so we don't have, this is not a study where we have information about exposures. We've got information about stage of diagnosis, grade, histology, demographic characteristics for the individual. We'll have another paper that looks at survival with this. We have excellent follow-up for survival, but we don't have height and weight. This is not a study. This is use of cancer registry data. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.